please turn with me to John 4, perhaps a familiar story to you, a true story of Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Page 1056 in your pew Bibles, 1056, John 4. You'll note that I don't really have an outline for this morning's sermon. No points, though I hope there is a point. And we'll just go through the story again in the sermon. And may God bless us and show us the great one, Jesus Christ. John 4, verses 1 through 30. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, and near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. That would be high noon for the Jewish people. 12 o'clock noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. May God bless this word to our hearts and lives, congregation. Beloved people of God, this is a love story, but a love story of a different kind. Like some love stories in the Old Testament, it occurs at a well, Jacob's well in Sychar. That's a town in the province of Samaria, and at that well, Jesus is sitting alone, waiting, tired, at high noon. And he's waiting there because, as verse 4 says, he has to. He had to pass through Samaria. Now, that's interesting, because Jews really didn't have to pass through Samaria to get to Galilee. Samaria was unclean, filled with unclean people. And so people would go over the Jordan, through Perea, and over top of Samaria into Galilee. He didn't have to, but yes, he did, because he had a divine appointment to keep. He had to pass this way because he had to meet a woman. Though she didn't know it, this woman, whose life was a shambles, was about to meet the man of her dreams. So there he is, waiting at Jacob's well at high noon. That's not the normal time for people to sit at a well. They would come early in the morning or in the evening, but not at the heat of the day. But there he is. And you have to think now like a Jew who knows the Old Testament. Jacob met his bride Rachel. Where? At a well. And his dad Isaac, his bride Rebekah, was also found where? At a well. Here's Jacob's son, Isaac's son, the Savior, sitting at a well, waiting. At high noon. He has no bucket. He's just waiting. And it just so happens that his disciples are gone. They're getting lunch. And right at that moment, a woman comes to the well, a woman from Samaria. That also was unusual. You don't come to the well at high noon. You come only if you don't want to meet people. Like sometimes maybe those who go to the grocery store at 2 a.m. and shop so they don't meet anybody they know or who might know them. This is the other way, the other side of that, at high noon. If you're a shady character, if you're a scandalous person, then high noon is a good time to go to the well and you won't meet anybody, but she does. Here he is. He must be here to meet her. He had to pass this way. Now, as a Jew, he's not allowed to associate with a person who's a Samaritan. They were half-breeds, a mixture of the peoples of the nations, the Assyrians and Jewish people, who had a hybrid god. They made up their own god, a mixture of elements of Israel's god and idol gods, and who had hybrid worship, unclean. She's got three strikes against her because she's one of these half-breeds. She's a woman, and thirdly, she's a woman of the night, a serial adulteress. She's dirty. She's a dirty lady. But here he is, waiting. And then he engages her when she comes. Give me a drink. And she pushes back. She distances herself. Does he really get who I am, she thinks, and that he's not supposed to be talking with me? You see, when people live in the shame of sin, they think nothing of contact with sin, but contact with holiness is frightening. We shy away from that. She pushes back. You're not supposed to be dealing with me. Jesus reaches out a second time. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink. It's really a question of who. If you knew who I am, you would ask me for a drink. And I would give you living water. Your life is going after drink that is leaving you hollow, empty, and a shambles. But I have drink that reaches the inside, the deep spot. Living water, he'll explain that later, welling up inside you. It's an open invitation. I'm not here to take from you like the other men in your life, to exploit you, to hurt you. No, you can ask me for a drink. I'm here to meet your needs, and needs a lot bigger and deeper than you can imagine. She pushes back again. Sir, you don't have a bucket. This is a joke. You don't have a bucket. And where do you get that living water? The well is really deep. And are you greater really than our father Jacob, who gave us water and our livestock water from this well? Really? Really? It's back to the question, who really are you? What is this about? So she pushes back against him another time. But Jesus reaches out to her a third time. He's persistent. Are you not in your life thankful for the relentlessness of Jesus and going after you when you did not want him rooting about in your business? A third time, I'm not talking about the kind of water that your bucket can carry. If you drink from this well, Jacob's well, it will not satisfy you. Verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I am the well you need. I am the well that you're really looking for, even if you're resisting that. If you drink my water, it becomes a stream that never stops flowing, never ceases to satisfy, and supplies you with eternal life. You see, he's moving into her inner life, isn't he? I'm not talking now about what a bucket can carry. If you drink from this well, it won't satisfy your thirst, but I have living water for you. If you drink that, you'll never thirst again. He's going to the secret places of her life. And that's where the discussion is going to turn next, isn't it? To the spot where she needs help. Because the living water he offers is for the inner person. It's not the water you drink with your mouth. It's the water you drink with your heart. And so he's now dealing with her deep inner life. And she doesn't want him to go in there. Maybe she didn't or couldn't go there herself. It was so locked up and sealed by the damage that she had experienced. I saw a t-shirt the other day, "Go deep, go Jays." I thought, well, the Jays can go deep into losses, but there's a depth that Jesus can take you that the Jays can't. The depth of the soul. Go deep. Go Jesus. I offer you a life that no well can give you and no man can give you. And speaking of men, yes, that's the trouble in her life. Men. You say, I can identify with that. Men. It's not actually men, but her thirst for life in relationships with men. Her idolatry of human relationships. And then going from one to the next because it's not working. The wrong men. And the wrong view of them. And they having the wrong view of her. It's mutual. And every time she meets what she thinks is going to be the man of her dreams, he fails her. He's not the husband who can quench her thirst for life. So she moves from man to man, and each new relationship leaves her more thirsty and dissatisfied and defiled than before. Well, Jesus, the one true husband and lover we need, he knew this about her. She's not going to go there, but he is. He came to the well to meet her, after all. He had to. His love for her drove him there. So now he goes a fourth time to engage with her and minister to her needs. And this time with the surgeon's knife. To cut open the sore spot in her life, her relationships, the sin and shame and pain she was living under. Go call your husband and come here. He knew. He says that after she stops pushing back against him and starts to lean into his offer of living water. Sir, give me this water, verse 15. But how will she know what this water is if she doesn't know what her thirst is? So, sir, give me this water leads to go call your husband. You see how they're connected? Call your husband and come here. Ouch! That cuts really deep. Shall I really talk about my messed up life, littered with broken relationships and adultery? She's not going to go there. She pushes back again. I don't have a husband. Stay out of my life. But he's not going to back away, and he engages her again. No, right now you don't. You're right. You're a six-man woman. You've had five husbands, plus the guy you're with now. You're not married to. You're in an adulterous relationship with him. You're really, woman, your life is a train wreck, isn't it? Shall we uncover your shame and talk about the idolatry of relationships, which has so exploited and damaged your life and left you with a ton of guilt and unmet needs? Shall we? Wow, I perceive you're a prophet. And then she changes the subject to worship. Kind of a handy place to go for her. Let's talk about worship. We differ on worship. The Samaritans worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. But you Jews in Jerusalem, this is my home. That's yours. You don't really belong there. Go back. We're not from the same religion. Yes, says Jesus, let's talk about worship. And he continues to engage her and expose her. You worship what you don't know, he says. So your life is a shambles and your worship is false. You don't know God. But I have good news for you. Salvation's from the Jews. Guess who you're talking to? Oh, we'll get there in a minute. Salvation's from the Jews, and an hour is coming and has now come. It's here. When the place won't matter, whether your mountain or ours, for we will worship God in spirit and in truth. And that means through a person. Through a true temple, not a stone one, a temple named Jesus. And that's where all peoples, Samaritans, Jews, meet with God through faith. And then he adds this, the Father is seeking such people to worship him. People that don't worry about the mountain anymore, but come in spirit and in the truth of the Old Testament temple, who is Jesus. He's the reality. He's the truth. The Father is seeking a bride for his son, a people who worship him. And he has sent me to find you. He has sent me to find you. The Father is seeking such worshipers. And then she gives just the right answer. Look at verse 25. She gets it. Well, he's talking about the Messiah when he's talking about true worship, not in this mountain nor that, but in spirit and truth. She gets it. He must be talking about the Messiah, the answer we're waiting for. And then those wonderful words, yup, and I am he. You've met him. You've met him. The answer you're waiting for. The man of your dreams. I'm here for you. My Father is seeking you for me. And then by the Spirit's work, she's able to piece it all together. That's what she says. That's the man we've been waiting for. He gives living water that fills our thirst like nobody else can. He covers our nakedness and our shame with his righteousness. And he will give us eternal life is the import of what he's saying. Now, what's really fascinating here is John, who wrote Revelation, loves numbers. It's also clear in the Gospel of John, he loves numbers. And he sees it clearly. Jesus is letting her know she's had six men and they have been a disaster. He's the seventh, the perfect one, the Messiah, the true measure of a man who's come to rescue a people, a bride from her filth and shame and dress her and beautify her as his very own wife. I am he. I am he. And what a blessed, good, and perfect man he is. On the one hand, he has smacked her down with overwhelming guilt. He's told her all she's ever done. Come meet a man, she says, who told me all I've ever done. He tells it like it is, but that's not it. That's not all. At the same time, he comes to her with overwhelmingly good news. And for you, I have eternal life, living water. Living water. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit pouring out on the desert land to bring about fruit, a harvest where there was nothing. And then notice what she says to that when the disciples come, verse 27. The disciples return and wondering, what's he doing with her? They don't say it, they just think it. What's he doing with her? But what about the woman? She has just met the man of her dreams. She's been swept off her feet by his great love for her, interest in her, care about her, and love for her. And notice what she does. 28. So the woman left her water jar. I'd not really noticed that statement ever before. But it's an important comment. It's a way of saying she has found the answer to her deeper thirst. An answer that no bucket can hold. And so the bucket will have to wait while I go for this living water. She leaves the bucket behind. She runs home and she tells her people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Verse 29. Can this be the Christ? I have met this amazing man and I want you to come and meet him too. Jesus told her in verse 16, go call your husband and come. Call her to come. Now she calls the people of her town to come. And it's very much the same language where the bride in Revelation 22 says, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come, and the one who desires take the living water without cost. Revelation 22. Here's a woman who's now become the bride of Christ. She says, come, you've got to meet the man of my dreams, who fills my thirst, who's the solution to my idolatry, who's the answer to every emptiness in my life. Come and meet him and drink living water from him. And the bride in Revelation 22 and John 4 says again, the Spirit working through the bride, come, meet the man of your dreams. Maybe you're not a six-man woman, but maybe your spirit is restless and you keep going to the next best thing because you haven't met the best person there is. And so you're looking to quench your thirst in things that really cannot fill you but leave you emaciated, empty, unhappy, guilty, shame-covered. You're always looking for the next best thing because you're missing the truly best thing, Christ, who truly fills your life and gives you abundance. He has for you full forgiveness, a fixed identity, a right relationship with God, endless love, complete protection. He commits himself to you in his covenant of grace and says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never abandon you. Wow. What a Savior. What a man. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he wonderful? Have you met him? He's talking to you today through this passage. Some of you maybe have made it your lifetime business so far not to be interested in Jesus, to show up, but to shove him away, to push him away because you're still looking to quench your thirst in the idols of this life, in your work, in your wealth, in your relationships, in drugs, in worldly amusements, earthly pleasures. You say no to him, you're going to kill yourself. It's a dead end. Life is a dead end. Even after 15 more fixes, or 30 or 100. He's calling you to come to him for living water. The answer to every need in your life, the one who fills your emptiness and the peace that settles your restlessness. And he's relentless in his love and he knows all your past and all your present. Nothing's hidden from him. There's one person in the universe who knows you completely, the most important person there is, the bridegroom, Jesus. He's a prophet and more than a prophet. And now he meets with his bride here at the table. And he says, let me remind you again how much I love you. I gave up my life for you. And the sacrifice I offered on the cross is living bread and living water for you. And it never stops giving and welling up within you. I am every day the one you need for the rest of your life, all the way to glory. Come, meet the man of your dreams. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for providing for us the perfect husband. Thank you, Jesus, for coming down to us in the spot of our shame and isolation to the well at noon to meet the woman who needed you. Thank you also for coming to meet us in the midst of our need and for being willing to engage us and persist with us and break through to us and bring us to yourself and marry us. Lord, we pray that you will help us to enjoy you now at the table, to commune with you in faith and with deep love, for you're a deep Savior. Amen.